Hey, welcome back to Mining Pod. We got an extra episode for y'all this week. Normally just do two, got a third. That's because we got special news lined up for y'all. Got a Bitcoin mining merger going on. So we have Marty Ben of TFCC /1031, Drew Armstrong of Cathedral Bitcoin, and Tom Massiero of Standard Bitcoin. Tom was on just a few weeks ago, so we brought him back on. Talk about a Bitcoin mining merger between two companies. More on that just after the break. Before we get to that, two quick announcements. First, check out Forman Mining. They're the sponsor for the show. You'll hear more from Forman Mining a little bit later in today's episode. Second, we're throwing a Bitcoin halving party here in Denver, Colorado. If you're interested in joining a bunch of Bitcoiners for the biggest event every 4 years in Bitcoin, join us at the Independence Institute on April 20th. You can find more information in today's show notes. Okay, a few words from our sponsors and then on to the show.
Want to mine Bitcoin? Gator Mining offers premium hosting with as low as one unit per client, 95% uptime guaranteed, no curtailment, 24/7 monitoring and maintenance, in-house certified repair center, clean and renewable energy, all at competitive market rates. Work with an individualized team to get hash rate flowing your way today. Gator Mining, pioneering trustworthy crypto hosting for optimal mining success. Contact Gator Mining today at gatormining.ca.
Bitcoin miners, be prepared. Hashrate is moving upstream towards power plants and low-value energy. Don't get cut off. Modernize and mobilize your Bitcoin mining fleet today with Upstream Data's high-performance load centers. Plug in Upstream Data's hash hut and monetize surplus wind power reliably in the blistering heat of West Texas. Plumb in hash generators and safely convert natural gas into cash in the frigid winters of northern Canada. Upstream offers high-quality load centers that will help you mine Bitcoin safely and reliably in every application and climate. Mobilize today and start mining upstream at upstreamdata.com.
Are you a retail or institutional investor interested in Bitcoin mining companies? The Miner Mag brings you free data and analysis from all major NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin mining operations to know who stands out. Check out visualized metrics and data-dependent stories at theminermag.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Mining Pod. We got a crew with us this morning. Drew, we're going to let you kick it off, intro everybody, and then tell us what we're up here early in the morning talking about.
Sure. I think no one here is a stranger. So I'm Drew Armstrong. I'm the president of Cathedral Bitcoin, a publicly traded Bitcoin miner on the Toronto Stock Exchange Venture Board. Over to you, Marty.
I'm Marty Bent, managing partner at 1031, founder of TFTC, director at Cathedra Bitcoin. Very excited for this conversation.
Yeah, and Tom Massiero, longtime friend and colleague of all these guys, co-founder and CEO of Kungsleden Inc., a digital infrastructure company.
And recent guest on the Mining Pod. So it was a good show 2 months ago down at Bitcoin Park. Okay, Drew, I'll boot back over to you again. So we got news this morning that you guys are going to push out into the pipeline. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So obviously we've had a long relationship with Tom. Tom has built a very exciting digital infrastructure business, as he said. And then as of today, we're pleased to announce that our two companies will be merging. So Cathedral Bitcoin and Kungsleden Inc. will become one entity under the banner Cathedra Bitcoin, but leaving in place the very exciting operations that Tom has spent the last year or two building. So maybe to talk about some of the high-level numbers for the pro forma company, this would basically be merging Tom's hosting business with our prop mining business. And that would mean 8 mining locations across the U.S., 4 owned Bitcoin data centers with total managed capacity of 94 megawatts as of this completion of a final build that Tom's been working on for a few months now. This means 45 megawatts of owned power capacity, managing 4.8 exahash of total hash rate under management. So we think this is really exciting because it basically pairs a stable hosting revenue business that Tom has built with our high upside prop mining revenue. And we think this is sort of a match made in heaven for a variety of reasons. But I think Tom is probably best equipped to really go over what the business he's been building is, what they do, and how they've been able to unlock this this huge advantage in the hosting business.
Yeah. I mean, you know, really, just like any other industry, a lot of this stuff just boils down to relationships, right? So this deal, partnership, merger did not come together overnight. This started through relationships we've had working together for years and years. And Cathedra has been a customer, was one of our first customers when we launched our first site. So, you know, they got to experience right from the get-go, because we know how the mining world works. There's a lot of expectations that people put out there. There's a lot of bluster that people put out there with, you know, what they can do and their timelines and their cost. And so they got to sit back and experience some of, I would say, like right from the get-go, you know, what we said we were going to do. And we, you know, we did it. And they trusted in us. They believed in us. And we're part of our first site in Tennessee back in the end of 2022. And then they continue to expand with us as we grew out more sites in Kentucky. So during that period of time, obviously the market changed a ton, right? You had a lot of these prop miners who raised a lot of money during the last bull market. Machine prices were at an all-time high. Just it's just very difficult market. So everyone got shook out in the last, I would say, 6 to 8 months, and people kind of got everything cleaned up. All the, you know, entities did. And so now it's kind of like where I feel like where Cathedra is positioned to move forward is like kind of like this foundation that's been set, a level playing field. And now we're in a position to grow because, you know, they already have the prop mining side. They've been able to withstand, especially the management team and executive team have been able to withstand a bull market, dealing with the pressures of, you know, having some debt to deal with, being creative with dealing with that, making tough decisions during that bear market to keep the company, not just afloat, but in a position that they could thrive. It was very difficult waters to charter for sure. And now we have, I think, like a really good foundation from the standpoint of we have expertise in the public markets. We have expertise running a prop mining fleet. And navigating, you know, kind of how to best play that game, whether it's underclocking or when to buy machines. And now we have this kind of element of being able to build rack space, I believe, at some of the industry's best, you know, pricing that's out there. And we're able to find, I'd say, opportunities that are not where everyone else is looking. So, you know, we're not going to build a 500 megawatt farm in the middle of Texas, but we're going to find 20 and 50 and 75 megawatt spots all over the Midwest and the Southeast of the United States.
Never say never, Tom. What if someone just comes to you with a huge plot of land in Texas? One sun power might happen. Hey, Marty, I want to hear from your angle. Obviously, being more of a capital manager and then also being on the board at Cathedra, how you've kind of looked at this partnership and the merger between these two entities.
I definitely have the perspective from the capital allocation side, but then obviously working closely, not only at Cathedra with Drew, AJ and the rest of the team, but Tom and I were at Great American Mining together going all the way back to 2018. And I think we've learned a lot of lessons over the last 6 years. And one of them, excuse me, one of them is like, you want to be able to build this infrastructure as cheaply and quickly as possible. The name of the game is deploying your capital, getting the infrastructure built, and getting the ASICs plugged in as quickly as possible. And I think what Tom has really proven out over the last year and a half building out these sites is that we can do that at a rapid pace and at a cost that is unmatched across the industry. And so at 1031, we look at a lot of deals across the space, but the in terms of the total amount of deals that we look at, it's probably predominantly the mining space because it's the lowest barrier to entry. You just got to have some capital. You can buy some machines, think you can plug them in. And so that is probably where the most activity is going on. But as we all know, mining is the most ruthlessly competitive aspect of the Bitcoin ecosystem. And so there's very few people that actually know what they're doing and have learned the hard lessons being through multiple cycles. And so I think where we stand today with this merger is really exciting because we've all learned a lot of lessons, both on the Cathedra side and the Kungsleden side over the last 6 years that we're really going to apply moving forward with this combined entity. And I'm really excited because I think the momentum we have now coming into this merger is the strongest it's been in the 6 years that I've been working for both of these companies. I think we've collectively learned the hardest lessons that you need to learn in the mining industry. We've really busted our chops and honed in on how to do this as efficiently from a capital perspective and a time perspective. I would say confidently out of anybody in the market. So being a director at Cathedra, that's what we've been talking about behind the scenes over the last couple of years with the debt situation and what our hash rate fleet is like, how do we diversify away from prop mining? Because I think that's becoming abundantly clear in the industry is that you need to diversify away and create these alternative revenue streams. So this infrastructure play and this hosting play really aligns with that. And we believe it's a more efficient way to accumulate Bitcoin on the balance sheet is building out this infrastructure, which is in high demand, doing it at a very cheap price, doing it very quickly, getting from shovel in the ground to hashing within 2 months at these individual sites is going to set us apart from the rest of the market in terms of generating revenue with high margin and expanding the fleet.
Will, can I pile on there for a second? Yeah, and I think both Tom and Marty mentioned some of the lessons that we've all learned over the last several years. Certainly, in the last 2.5 years that AJ and I have been running Cathedra, I think we've always understood that mining is a scale game, and I think this transaction is really important because it does catapult us to an important scale. But Marty, I think, highlights a point that we've just been thinking so much about over the last 2 years. You know, when AJ and I took over Cathedra, our goal was to attack the off-grid flare gas mining play at scale and to really go after the waste methane. And, unfortunately, the way just the economics of off-grid mining changed with generator prices, that really just stopped making sense in early 2022. And so as we've kind of done everything we could to survive and set the company up in the best position as possible to succeed over the subsequent 2 years, I think the importance of the uncorrelated revenue stream, as Marty mentioned, is so important. The importance of having some stable revenue is so important. And the importance of just getting off the ASIC hamster wheel, right? As we've seen, network hash rate just continues to sort of skyrocket, even during bear markets, right? This is nothing new. And I think what's really interesting about this opportunity here and this pro forma company and incorporating Tom's assets into this business is we now have basically the option to toggle between fixed and floating revenue, right? You have the opportunity to opportunistically increase your hash rate so that you have more upside in mining. And that's particularly important as we see things like ordinals and alternative uses of block space really drive transaction fee revenue. But then even during a bear market, you have these 5-10 year assets in these data centers that will just continue to print the same margins month after month. And I think that just puts us in a qualitatively different position than pure play prop miners who are basically just always they always have to be involved in the hash rate arms race. And as Marty said, it's the most ruthless form of commodity production there is. It's really, really competitive.
Tom, I'll throw it over to you. Kind of bringing the GAM crew back together, part of the GAM crew. What sort of like legacy or lessons from that business moving into this one have you guys brought with you?
That's a great question. And I think Marty kind of touched on that. It's, unfortunately, it's like you're just going to have to experience a lot of these very painful lessons in only one way in order to really glean a lot from them. So, when I hear people that are like, oh, I've been in mining for a couple of years, I'm like, all right, that's not bad. Because like in, Bitcoin mining years, 2 years is like 5 years, right? Normal years. So I would say that you have to learn, my partner, Gavin, and I, when people say, oh, I didn't build this, but, Gavin and I are partners. We have a small team just like Cathedra. So we work together. We all have our specialties and he's learned kind of from his perspective too. But I think that the one thing that he's taught me is he told me a phrase one time when, we were going through we were building our first sites during the deepest of bear markets. So like $15,000 Bitcoin, we're building hosting sites. People are like, what are you doing? And at the time I was like, I don't know. You're kind of going out in faith. And he said, be like water. And that term kind of stuck with me because you have to be like that in Bitcoin mining. Meaning, right now we're seeing ASIC prices, like I would say almost 90 to 95% off of peaks. right? Yet we're at Bitcoin all-time high at price range. So are there times to be like aping into machines? Absolutely. Are there times not to be? We learned those lessons as well. Same thing, off-grid. We had a great run at Great American Mining for right after COVID because the natural gas market had plummeted and oil market had plummeted. So we were able to rent generators at like the cost of like 2.5 cents per kilowatt hour. And to get something spun up that quick on an off-grid site was very like effective and allowed us to grow. But then soon, when things became outside of our control, you know, when that market shifted, we lost the ability to get pricing at that. So then we're like, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll make the switch, we'll buy the generators. And then you start doing the numbers and the CapEx just doesn't match up for all of the complexity that goes along with off-grid. So then you like, you know, you continue to like move and you're like, okay, we're going to build some on-grid sites. And you build this on-grid site. And the ones that we kind of specialize in is like these 10 to 20 megawatt sites that we can get up and running in less than 2 months or right around that time. And then once we built one of these, we're like, oh, there's something nice about just having it built and not have to worry about it. It just goes and does its thing. Customers come on site, they manage their machines and everyone's happy. And then you can go and build more. And so that was kind of the unlock for me was like, I just want to continue to build. How do we continue to build more and more rack space? Because I think we can all agree here that rack space is actually like the premium in this whole market. There's not enough rack space for how much hash rate's out there. And now even more than that, the competition that's going to start coming down to our space on the, high value compute side of things. We just saw Core announced yesterday. That's coming into our world as well.
So just on that last point, are you thinking that's going to increase or notch up demand for rack space, or do you think they're going to be separate markets?
I think it's too early to tell right now what that's going to be. I think there's a world where you can marry the two together, where you could have like a prop mining side of things that would kind of almost be subsidized by the GPU hosting side. However, I still think it's really early. A lot of the customer, like the actual customer base for GPU compute, it's still not clearly defined. You have a lot of people buying GPUs, but there's not really a specific use case for them other than, for them to say they have a lot of allocation for GPUs. So as we see more independent cloud services develop where they need, you know, like a larger infrastructure, I think where there's, you know, I think that's when we'll see some unique opportunities that come up.
Gotcha. So Drew, this is a slightly different strategy than you guys have used in the past. I mean, Cathedra has done stuff from like building your guys' rovers, your containers, to really tinkering with firmware and looking at like the intricacies of underclocking. You guys have mostly been operating out of like the northeast of the US, is my understanding. Can you tell me a little bit more about like on the strategic side, how you guys are thinking of expansion? So Tom just mentioned like you guys are going to be moving more into these rural areas where there's, you know, 10, 20 megawatts you can pick up at these substations. And we talked about that on our show a few months back. How does this change from Cathedra? You mentioned the oil and gas strategy as well, kind of being in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. And so first off, I just say that on our website, we have an investor deck that's going to outline a lot of this new information in a clear visual way. So definitely would recommend anyone who's curious to go look at that. But yeah, so I think as of today, with just kind of the standalone Cathedra, we have 5 data centers in the U.S., 2 in Washington, 1 in Texas, a partnership with 360 Mining, and then 2 in Tennessee. Actually, one of them in Tennessee is with Tom and Gavin, is with Kungsleden. And so that was really our first relationship that started with them. And we basically gave them some machines to run back in 2022. So it's sort of been a long time that we've seen their performance and seen how good the uptime has been. But, as we think now about what else we've done, you know, you're right. We built the rovers. A large reason we built the rovers is because there was no rack space available, to Tom's point. And so it was so hard to buy a container or to find hosting at any reasonable rate that wasn't with a 5-year prepayment that we just decided to go try to build our infrastructure ourselves. And so we still have some rovers that we're, you know, looking for good power opportunities for. You mentioned firmware. As we were pivoting into the bear market, seeing kind of the water shifting beneath our feet or the land shifting beneath our feet and needing to make sure that we stay alive, we did get experimental with firmware. And that is something that is still available with Cathedra OS. But as we think, you know, moving forward, something AJ and I've been thinking about a lot, and we've chatted with both, you know, Marty and Tom about this over the years, is the importance for non-hash price revenue streams, right? Making sure that you aren't just always buying ASICs, fighting against network hash rate going up and up, and basically just watching your margins decay over time as more and more machines plug in. And so strategically, as we think about this, we think this is like a great adjacent revenue stream to capture, with really nice paybacks that in many cases are far better than ASIC paybacks. And of course, they aren't as volatile. So, moving forward, I think the reality is that there's going to be a lot of pipeline for growth, whether that's building new sites and increasing the hosting side of the business or buying ASICs. And so I think the benefit of this business is we'll have the ability to opportunistically decide whether we want the high upside volatile Bitcoin mining revenue or if stable revenue makes sense. And then, as Tom's mentioned too, with AI HPC, when you're owning the own data center and you're developing the data center yourself, you're in a much better position too to participate in that market as well. And so I think moving forward, this it gives us a much better all weather strategy, so that you're ready to expand and to grow regardless of market conditions. Because if you're in the hosting business, even during the worst part of the bear market, if you have a client with latest gen machines, they're still profitable, they're still on side, they're still going to be a good paying customer. I feel pretty. I think that's really the most exciting, one of the most exciting things for me. Obviously, I think we have a ton of respect for the team, and Tom and Gavin have both proven themselves many times in this industry, and so I think the team is hugely a huge component of this. But also the fact that we have these two revenue streams now, and the ability to add more and to tack more on, it will really set us apart from other miners, regardless of where we are in the cycle.
Hey listeners, let's talk about revolutionizing your mining operation with Foreman. This isn't your average management tool. It's an all-in-one solution for reducing costs and significantly boosting your revenue. Foreman brings a cutting-edge dashboard to your fingertips, empowering you with automated energy strategies. This means not only curtailing around real-time prices, but also strategically enhancing your profit margins through demand response. It's about leveraging energy efficiency to its fullest potential. With Foreman, you get a system that scales with your business, inventory management for assets, infrastructure integration, and business intelligence. Foreman elevates the cash flow and production of your entire operation. To see how Foreman can redefine your mining operation standards, visit foreman.mn. With Foreman, you're not just managing a mining operation, you're setting a new standard in the industry.
Love it. Marty, I'm going to throw it over to you. So you guys invested in Grid, which went public a few weeks back, and now you guys are part of this merger. From a Bitcoin VC side of things and also being a board member, what does that look like for you to like steward a company into this sort of position?
It's very stressful, but it's a lot of fun as well. I mean, for me personally, it's extremely rewarding because I've worked closely with both Tom, Drew, and AJ over the last 6 years. And we've, again, like I said earlier, gone through the ringer of these cycles. And I think for me, it feels like we've learned the lessons and we're ready to go apply them moving forward. And then from the 1031 perspective, again, I think whether it's Grid or this merger between Kungsleden and Cathedra, it really highlights that like you have to pick the right operators that have been through these cycles and know what's going on. Again, the most deals we see at 1031 are mining deals. It's the lowest barrier to entry. And so really being able to pick the operators that know what they're doing and can go execute is imperative for us as capital allocators. A lot of the Bitcoin funds don't allocate to mining because they don't understand the dynamics as well as we do at 1031. And it's something that we're comfortable with because of my experience in the mining industry. And so I think this merger and what we do moving forward, yes, we're talking a big game here, but we have to go execute and supremely confident that we're going to. And so that is what gives me a lot of excitement, is to see the teams come together and then begin executing. Because I think we have a massive opportunity here with the relatively low supply of rack space and the speed at which we could develop it to really set ourselves apart and like prove to the market that there's a new way to do things in the mining industry, not just from pure innovation, but from pure market dynamics where you need to innovate and you need to develop these optional revenue streams. And again, from my perspective, from our perspective at 1031, being able to be a part of a deal that really sets the standard of, hey, we're evolving with this market and really setting the standard of what these businesses look like moving forward is extremely rewarding. But again, it is ruthlessly competitive, never boring, often stressful. And I'm very happy that this is finally being consummated. We've been talking about this behind the scenes for some time. And again, it really comes down to team and how you execute. And I think we honestly have the best team in the world right now to go do this, because again, it's time from capital deployed, shovels in the ground, to up and hashing. And what Tom and Gavin have proven over the last year and a half is that they're the best in the industry when it comes to that. And not only that, I think, Tom, we should talk about this too, like really going and seeking deals behind the meter, which I think is going to be a big trend moving forward, which we're already taking advantage of.
Yeah. Like when you spoke about like innovation, you know, I think it's easy to fall into the trap that, you know, a lot of miners, they kind of do, I call them like cookie cutters. It's very, all the same business models, kind of same type of sites and aesthetics. And I think though that there's room to be, you know, that's what we talked about the last time we chatted, Will. It's like, is there room for original thinkers in Bitcoin mining? And the same thing can be said for business models. Like we used to run like thought experiments when I was at Cathedra, and it was kind of like around the, you know, like if we didn't have any miners, how could we like get access to more Bitcoin, right? If we didn't buy any more machines, how could we quote unquote mine more Bitcoin? And I think understanding that, you know, trying to think, you know, differently about things, has allowed us to, you know, Cathedra, you know, making that decision back in, I think, beginning of or the end of 2022 to underclock during that whole cycle with a lot of the J pros they had, was a great decision. And they were well ahead of the curve, on that one, probably by like 3 or 4 months before others started kind of catching on. And I think, you know, the business model side with what we're doing, we're willing to be a little bit different and not stay locked into a specific way of revenue and thinking that's the only way. And so, yeah, I think, I think there'll be some really cool opportunities that come from that.
What does the company structure look like now that you guys have merged the two entities, like headcount, who's going to be running operations? Drew, are you going to have to stay in New York City forever? Or are you moving out of there? What are you up to?
You know, if gentlemen on this call had their way, I'd be moving south of Mason-Dixon pretty quickly. But no, I think
we need a pub key ambassador in place and above the enemy line. So it's all good.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm reporting live from the battleground. But anyway, so you can see the full headcount, the new board of directors on the presentation that I mentioned before. So the new board of directors will be 7 folks in total. In addition to the current board of directors, it will be Tom, Gavin, and Matt Kita. And then, you know, so Tom and Gavin will be serving as chairman and will still be, you know, kind of doing the same operational side of things that they've been doing now. They've, you know, I think that's what Cathedra wants, and they're doing an amazing job. AJ and I will still retain our current titles, the CEO and president. And, you know, fortunately, because of the long relationship we've had with Tom, you know, we're pretty excited that it should be a seamless integration, because Tom knows everyone on our team. You know, we know Tom and gotten to know Gavin over the last several months. And so, you know, I think moving forward, it should just be a seamless integration, because they've built something great that works. We still have a hash rate plugged in at other sites that we're making sure is as profitable as possible. And, you know, I think there's just a huge opportunity for us all to go and attack together, and kind of leveraging all of our different skill sets and expertise. Reed Browning and Isaac Fithian also, you know, I think they were the ones who were really behind the firmware innovation that Tom mentioned and pushing to underclock the J pros by over 50%. And so I think there's, as hash rate under management sort of grows, you know, there's going to be a lot of interesting things we'll be able to do to make sure that everyone's getting the most out of their hash rate.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the most exciting parts, is that I think Tom and Gavin have really proven that they can build this infrastructure in a lean way and keep our SG&A costs down as low as possible and leverage strong contracting agreements with contractors to go build this infrastructure without having to take on a ton of headcount as we scale. And so in the mining industry, I think that is another aspect that really sets us apart, is that we can do this in a relatively lean way to keep overall ongoing OpEx down on the SG&A side.
Yeah, it's actually a question I wanted to throw over to Tom. So Tom, like, I think you've kind of developed a name for yourself for being like scrappy and smart about like how you're deploying capital. It's especially important during a bear market. How does that integrate into a public company? Like, how does your strategy change, or does it change? Typically, we see these public companies throw out big press releases. They're spending a lot of money. Things are great. Number go up. I think that's not your style, and that's why it's been working, because like you're doing it a little bit differently than people. How is that going to change when you're a public company where people want to see like those big splashy press releases?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something to giving the people what they want, but not doing it in an artificial way. And so now I think we have the ability to continue to just do what we do best, which is build new sites, develop new relationships with, I would say like we have a very unique opportunity on our hosting side where we have really deep relationships with the counterparties that we have. And I can't really go into too much detail on them yet, but like, in my opinion, we have like the best counterparty for hosting that you could possibly have in mining. And it does offer, and it also does offer a flavor of optionality later on down the line. And because of that, we're able to continue to build and build and build the same way we were before, by not going into debt, by allowing our free flowing cash flow to pay for new facilities, and just to continue to expand and help in that way. And so if we're building new sites continually, like Marty and I actually had a chat yesterday catching up, and I was like, you know, this bull market, which I mean, you could quasi say we're in a bull market, but it doesn't feel like a bull market yet. I think this bull market might be a little different from the standpoint of most bull markets. You're just literally like just hanging on, and you're like, you know, the roller coaster meme that goes through. And I was like, maybe it's different. Maybe it's kind of like how long a bear market is. And what if we have the same, like, I would like to keep the same mindset that we had during the bear market, because everyone who's in mining kind of low key, I know it's kind of a weird masochistic way to think about it, but they kind of love mining in a bear market because it takes a lot of focus off of the distractions, and then you can focus on building or making your fleets more efficient, or, you know, getting ready for the bull market. So for us, we have the same mindset, is continual building, moving forward. And so, you know, thankfully we're in a position where we can do that a little differently than I would say other entities out there.
Is the cockroach still the official logo or slogan, Drew?
I don't know, Tom, what do you think?
I think you always want the cockroach to be there in case of like cataclysmic events. But you know, like I think where you're seeing, at least in the market right now, if you look at overall, it's easy to get stagnant when you're too big or too centralized, and to then go and like double from where you're at, let's say 500 megawatts to a gigawatt, it's a heavy lift. And I think there's going to be an opportunity to, I almost want to say, not be the rabbit, just continue to be like the tortoise and just continue to like, just chug away, just keep building 10, 20 megawatts, and you keep stacking it. And what you and I talked about the last time, Will, was, you know, a couple of years ago, if you had a 10 megawatt site, you could maybe get like 200 or 300 petahash out of that site. Now with S21s, that same 10 megawatt site is now 650 petahash, something like that. Another 8 months from now, you're probably close to an exahash out of a 10 megawatt site. So, you know, we look at that rack space and that power allocation as a premium, and we know that the hash rate will come and follow that.
Yeah. One other benefit too, Tom, as you're saying that, you're getting me thinking, like one of the huge benefits too of the Kungsleden development model of low capex, really fast build times, is that it also just gives you so much more optionality. You know, if you're building, as Tom always called them, the big box miners down in Texas, if you're building like a 500 megawatt site, and
you know, taking you 12, 18 months to build. You know, you announce that you're putting all of your capital into building that. You're also not mining Bitcoin during that time. And then obviously you need to buy ASICs to sort of fill that site out. But that's just sort of like one and done. If you are, and you know, the market can totally change against you in that time. But if you are doing smaller sites, you know, 10, 20 megawatts, you know, even a little bit bigger than that, if you're doing things behind the fence, you have a really interesting opportunity to pivot with the market faster, because you can go and attack a 10 megawatt opportunity, potentially get hashing in, you know, 60, 90 days, whatever it is. And that gives you so much more flexibility to grow and to pivot with the market and be like water versus, you know, just making a big splash with one 500 megawatt, one gigawatt site, whatever it may be.
I think this was on a recent call with Fred Thiel from Marathon. I'm misattributing this, apologies, but I believe he said that, like, if you're not over 10 exahash going into this bull market, then you're not going to make it. And I think it's the idea is like, you need to be a certain size at this point because we're having less revenue. And so you need to soak that up. Do you guys think about that with your strategy? Or is it just more leaning into efficiencies and sort of the strategy you just laid out there, Drew?
I think what we're thinking about solving for the problem for is just, it's not so much like the exahash. It's more about getting to a place where you have so much rack space that you can be a very, very large miner. And instead of going, like, I think like the problem that we're, because, you know, one of the reasons that I think the Cathedra team, at least, you know, especially early on when Drew and AJ kind of got aboard there, was they wrote this amazing thesis that a lot of investor letter that a lot of people read. And it was like this long-term vision. And I think like we can continue to stack sites and build with the goal and vision towards what that long-term vision would be, which is being like a very, I don't want to say large, but like a meaningful, I don't want to say large just to like, you know, like it's not just like a subjective thing. Like we want to be a meaningful contributor to the Bitcoin mining ecosystem. And I think the way to get there is to stack these, stack rack space, as fast as you can and as cheap as you can, because what happened in these last, on these last runs was there's a lot of capital allocation to go build really large sites. The problem is they're building these sites at like $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 a megawatt. And even if you're prop mining, you're never going to make your money, or it'll be very, very difficult to make all your money back. Plus there's money that you're wasting on infrastructure that could be going to buy more ASICs. So I think like we're putting a lot of that stuff first. We're buying the cheap, or we're putting our emphasis in developing cheap infrastructure as cost effective as we possibly can. So then we can reap the rewards of when there potentially is, you know, hash rate that we can put on those shelves ourselves, or just continue to, I would say like ride the wave. I think like with the ETFs that are now out there, I think investors look differently at, or are starting to try to figure out how they look differently at miners. And so I think there's going to be this path where, you know, companies that are adjacent to Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining, you know, will just be valued on, you know, how they're embracing that ecosystem, how they're profitable, and what that sets them apart. Because like in our view, we can become an extremely profitable business with the way we do things. And we're in terms of like where we're at in the cycle, as far as Bitcoin mining adoption, we're basically not even out of the batter's box at this point in terms of like adoption and where things are going to go with, like, you know, smaller communities embracing Bitcoin mining. I think we're just starting to break out of that bubble where it was kind of the stigma. So, you know, we're very early stages.
I would add, like, if it was Fred or somebody else who made that comment, I think that may be true if you're a big box miner with heavily concentrated operations. But I think what really sets us apart, not only on the capital side of things, doing this very cheaply, is the distributed nature, the geographic distribution of these sites, where you can go build 50 megawatts of capacity in parallel across different sites across the country. It's just an example, but I think that gives us an advantage. Whereas if you're building a gigawatt facility in one spot, that's going to take you 24 months. Your capital is locked up. You're not hashing, you're not making revenue. And so, yeah, if you're a big box miner, that may be true, but I think for this distributed infrastructure model, I think we play in a different area than those type of miners.
Yeah. And I think one other point to add too, I think just going back to the original Marathon comment, I heard something from CleanSpark in the past as well, where it's like, you know, if you're not, you know, 5x hash, whatever it is, like you're just simply not going to make it. There's something I've always hated about that line of thinking, especially it's similar to when people talk about how you need to expand your hash rate to make sure you're retaining your market share of the network. And that's always seemed to not make sense to me, where like, shouldn't the goal here should be earning good returns on invested capital? It shouldn't be just like maintaining whatever percent of the network that you want to as a vanity metric. You should be trying to, you know, drive returns for shareholders and, you know, really compound capital and improve the business in an economic way. And so, again, that is the huge benefit of this low capex, fast deployment model, is that you can compound capital. You can do that. And you can do that in, you know, any market cycle versus needing to, you know, again, the ASIC hamster wheel, waiting till the bull market so you can raise capital to buy ASICs just to watch the value of those ASICs decline into the bear market. And then, you know, trying to do the same thing again so you can get up above whatever thresholds you have in mind. I think this is sort of a qualitatively different approach to the mining business. As Tom said, think more and more about business models and how to be creative there versus just buying machines for the sake of buying machines. And obviously, you know, CleanSpark, Marathon, this strategy has benefited them tremendously. I do wonder to a certain extent, you know, folks always talk their book. Clearly, the big bad miners with, you know, double digit exahash are clearly going to benefit from telling everyone that this is the most important part of mining. But the reality is, there are many different ways to win in this. And I think with this new pro forma company, there's this differentiated strategy, which, you know, and I don't know how many times I can say this, or we can say this on this call, but the fact that you have this ability to toggle back and forth opportunistically between fixed margins of hosting and, you know, variable high upside Bitcoin mining margins, I think that's just so valuable. And that will completely set this business apart from the pure play big box miners who are just long hash price.
Love it. We could probably wrap up there. Oh, Tom, jump in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, you know, it's funny because if you think about how fast this space moves, I think there's something that's the bigger you get, it's kind of like the theory of disruptive innovation. And so when you become an incumbent, it's very easy to just kind of, you know, think like, oh, no one's going to be able to meet these thresholds. But it seems like, you know, CleanSpark is a relatively new entrant into mining, you know, within like the last 2 to 3 years. And I mean, to credit to their team, like the reason how they grew so fast was because they got busy. It wasn't like they just made large purchases of machines and they called it good. Like they were buying sites opportunistically during the bear market where no one else was buying them. And they really built their business over a long period of time of just kind of chunking away. And I think like the market rewarded them because of that, not just because they were at some arbitrary exahash number. So it's funny that like you can, when you get to a certain size, you have to remember what got you there. And, you know, I think this building first mentality that I think we have all ingrained in us, because if you even think back to like what Drew was talking about, you know, going through initially with building rovers and things like that, it was this still this idea that we kind of had to control our own destiny and not be subject to not being in control of what we could do with our revenue. And, you know, I think like moving forward, we're going to be very opportunistic with things like that. And, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for growth for, in my opinion, for smaller, more nimble operators rather than the bigger guys, because now with more increased focus, especially from the regulatory perspective, there's just more spotlight on them. So when perfect example is, you know, some big projects that are going on in Texas right now, compared to when their first project launched, it was relatively, no one even really knew about it. Now you're launching these new ones and, you know, you've got people picketing and protesting because, you know, and that's just the nature of the beast. So it's going to be fun in this next bull market. I'll tell you that much.
Great. Thanks for joining, guys. Appreciate it. And congrats on the merger. Look forward to watching everything go down. Thanks for joining.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate you having us.